With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fans Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. You can find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. With me, of course, is Kyle Yates. You can find him on Twitter at KyleYNFL. Yates, how are you?
I'm good, man. Enjoying the weather here in Michigan. It is going to be 77 degrees here today. We actually went out to the beach last night, so that is insane. I am here in the early parts of November, but I am not complaining for one second.
Yeah, you know I live in New England, in New Hampshire, and it basically winter is like an 8-month season, and we have this pellet stove, so it's something where basically we can kind of quasi-create a fire without me burning the house down, which is always the big worry. And legitimately, the debate is always, can we make it to October before starting it up? And it is November, and we have not even started up yet. I am loving it. I'm sure next week it's going to be like 20 degrees or whatever right. We're looking yep. at. But for now, let's live it up. We've got a great guest. Today is our rest of season rankings, trade show, all that good stuff. Got a great guest. It's Brandon Funston. You can find him on Twitter at his name, Brandon Funston. He's over at The Athletic. Brandon, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing good up here in the Pacific Northwest where frigid temperatures are not our concern at this time of the year. It is the rain. And I just looked at my 10-day weather forecast, which shows Wednesday is the only day in the next 10 that won't be raining. So I'm trying to decide what I'll be doing on Wednesday, but I'm certainly going to have to try to make an opportunity out of it.
If I'm going to add one thing in favor of rain, it is that in New Hampshire, in many neighborhoods, including mine, we are on a well, and I have talked about it, and we had like a drought, and our well ran dry. So at least you don't have to worry about going 3 days without water in your house and having a near revolt of everybody who's living in your house.
You're absolutely right. We don't ever worry about water supply out
That's
here.
The best thing. Not worrying about water is like my top three goals in life. But anyway, look, we're going to break down yesterday's game between the Patriots and the Jets, something that I was very happy about the results. We're going to be talking about trades, the most traded players. We're going to be looking at our rest of season rankings. We're going to be looking at buy low, sell high candidates. Then we'll answer a little listener mailbag question. But first, again, today is trade talk, so let me make sure I remind you about our trade analyzer over at My Playbook. If you want to see whether or not a trade helps your team, the trade analyzer is going to do that. If you want power rankings in your league before and after a trade, it will do that too. You want support for uneven trades. You want support for trading draft picks in dynasty formats. The trade analyzer is going to do that too. That's available at My Playbook along with a million other tools. That's fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Okay, so guys, before we get into last night's game, let's very briefly touch on the biggest news of the day. This is Tuesday morning, and that is that Big Ben has been placed on the reserve COVID list. You guys, correct me if I'm wrong. He has not tested positive, as far as I understand, right, for COVID-19. He is just deemed a close contact, or however they term it, with Vance McDonald, who has tested positive. So correct. This is akin, I believe, to the Matthew Stafford situation from last week, which is he can't practice. He's got to continue to test negative. But given the time frame, so long as he continues to test negative, he can be activated at least on Sunday and play. Brandon, is that, am I describing it right? Do I have it right?
Yeah, I think that is. I think we saw that, as you said, play out last week with Stafford. So assuming, you know, he doesn't come up positive, should be all systems go.
So realistically, I would expect that the only advice we can really give fantasy managers who are relying on Big Ben to just have a backup ready to go. But in the meantime, there's not really anything we can do or that any action that fantasy managers should be taking other than that, right?
Yeah, and I think that the thing that we have to continue to monitor too is that he did leave that game for a little bit with that, I think, both knees.
Yes,
something
both.
Happened with both of his knees. So that's a situation too where he's allowed to come into the facility and rehab, but it's not like he has to wear the proper PPE and everything like that. So it's just a situation to monitor. But like you said, Dan, I think the most actionable advice that we can give is just have a backup plan ready just in case.
And of course, if Big Ben is not able to play, that's going to be a huge downgrade for the receivers, but we will jump off that bridge when the time comes. Let's get to last night's game. Patriots 30, Jets 27. The big takeaway from this game is, of course, Jacoby Myers, 14 targets, 12 catches, 169 yards. The two prior games, 16 targets, 10 catches, 118 yards. He's basically the only game in town at this point for the Patriots in the passing game. I will give a shout out to Derek Brown, who appeared on our waiver wire show last week and basically had Myers as his number one wide receiver pickup because he kind of expected to see this coming. So kudos to him. They've got Baltimore next here, Brandon. How do you feel about Jacoby Myers going forward?
Well, I think, you know, the big key with New England is Cam's got to have time to throw. He's largely awful in the passing game when he's being disrupted. And so you worry about Baltimore's ability to do that. You know, I think, you know, the slot receiver is the one you feel, you know, sometimes a little better about against a team like Baltimore. But I don't know how you sit in a four-team bye week, a guy who just came off a game like that in Jacoby Myers. But I would expect that there's a very reasonable, you know, potential for him to get half the numbers, if not less, against Baltimore. I worry about the matchup. I think the fact that the Jets can't get after the quarterback at all, and you saw it, Cam had a lot of time to throw in a lot of those situations last night.
Yeah, and this strikes me, at least coming into this week, as the basically poster child for 2020, which is, I don't really feel good about starting him this week, and yet I'm going to have him ranked as a surefire starter because that's just where we are at this point. Yates, how about you? Do you view Myers in the same vein?
Yeah, so I put this out on Twitter earlier today that over the last 3 weeks, only five players in the entire NFL have seen more targets than Jacoby Myers, and that's the list is Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, Tyreek Hill, Tyler Lockett, and Stephon Diggs. So he is seeing an insane target share in this offense. But like you said, this is a very, very concerning matchup against Baltimore with the passing attack, right? Like there are no other weapons that Baltimore has to, you know, focus in on to be able to take away Jacoby Myers. So I still think that he'll see an insane amount of targets, but the production's probably not going to be there. So I think if you can sell high on Jacoby Myers, then I would recommend doing that. It all depends on for who. But at the same time, if not, then you continue to roster him. But I'm adjusting expectations for this week. He'll probably be a low-end wide receiver 3 in my rankings.
I think the biggest thing is that Myers is probably not rostered in most leagues. So let me ask you something, Yates, because we did the waiver wire show yesterday, and then I'll throw it to you, Brandon. So, Yates, we had Jalen Reagor and Curtis Samuel kind of as the clear-cut number 1 and 2 widely available pickups off waiver wires. Where would Myers slot in? Would he be ahead of Samuel, behind Samuel? Where does he slot in?
No, he's going to be behind Samuel. And I think that a strategy that you could deploy here is to, you know, let someone else pick up Jacoby Myers, start him this next week, and then, you know, adjust your the owner who picked him up will probably be disappointed because it's a tough matchup, and then might drop him, you know, next week. So then at that point, you might be able to go pick up Jacoby Myers again moving forward. So that's a risky strategy, but I'm not going to go super crazy with Fab and try to go get him because of this tough matchup here in Baltimore.
How about you, Brandon? I mean, if you're looking at waiver wires, because a lot of leagues, a couple of I'm in as well, they don't have waivers run until Wednesday night, which, by the way, I think is probably the right way to do it. If he's available, Jakobi Meyers, where would he rank, generally speaking? Would he be a top priority pickup for you? We talked again about Jalen Reagor or Curtis Samuel that we would both prefer. How about you?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely in on Curtis Samuel one. I think the Meyers versus Reagor thing is a little bit more of a something I'd have to consider, but I am worried about New England's schedule up coming with like, you know, Baltimore and the Browns, who can get after the quarterback as well. I think there could be some missteps here for Cam and you know, in connection then with Jakobi Meyers. But I think Curtis Samuel, you know, Joe Brady, and they understand that this guy is like, you know, a complete hybrid Percy Harvin type, and I think they're utilizing him a lot more in that way than Ron Rivera ever did. And I think the nice thing about it is with those jet sweeps and those, you know, those short passes, we can give him space. He's a lot more matchup proof for that reason. So Samuel, for me, is number one with a bullet.
All right, let's get to the running game. Damian Harris, 14 for 71 on the ground, looked pretty good, but he does leave late after that big hit. I haven't heard too much about him yet. Rex Burkhead, meanwhile, does find the end zone, 12 for 56, also looks pretty good. Of course, Cam Newton scores 2 rushing touchdowns. Sony Michel is on his way back. So Harris ran well here. He looked like he might be slowly getting into that circle of trust. But Brandon, how do you feel about this New England running game right now?
Yeah, there's no such thing as a circle of trust with the New England running game, right? It's frustrating because they can actually run the ball. And it would be nice to kind of consolidate the touches back there into, you know, just even 2 guys would be great. But, you know, that's not the world we've lived in for a long time. So, yeah, I'm concerned about Damian Harris, And I own him in a few leagues, and it's like the chest injury comes at a terrible time with Sonny Michel coming back, and you kind of felt like Damian Harris could at least be the leading ball carrier, although there was a bit of a hot hand situation last night with Rex Burkhead. So it's just the same old in terms of a headache for fantasy you know, GMs out there.
Yeah, Yates, you agree? You off Harris a little bit here?
Yeah, I've over the past several years, I've said like I downgrade. Every New England Patriots running back in my rankings, just because, you know, like if they're there 2 rounds later in ADP, I'll take them. But where they're being drafted, I'm not going to take them there. And it's a strategy that's worked out for me. So this is just kind of a situation that, man, it's a mess to try to figure out week in and week out. And we can say that with a lot of other backfields. This one's probably the messiest, though.
All right, let's get to the Jets here. Joe Flacco throws 3 touchdown passes in bizarro world. 2 of them go to Breshad Perriman. 7 targets, catches 5 of them for 101 yards with both those scores. 1 goes to Jameson Crowder, a very pretty throw and catch. He only has 2 targets, catches both of them, just 26 yards, but again, he does find the end zone. Denzel Mims continues to see targets, 8 targets, 4 catches, 62 yards. Brandon, are you interested in rostering any Jets wide receiver at this point?
Not really. I mean, the problem is I you know, you can see Breshad Perriman's talent, but there's also Denzel Mims healthy now, and they're kind of similar players. And it could, one week it could be Mims, another week it could be Perriman. And then, you know, more often than not, it's going to be Jameson Crowder when he's 100% healthy. And, you know, with Sam Darnold back, it just kind of jumbles things up. So I don't know how you hang your hat on Mims or Perriman week in and week out. And the only one you can kind of feel comfortable about is Jameson Crowder.
Do you feel okay about Jameson Crowder again? Because, you know, he had missed time with injury. He wasn't in. It seemed like they were easing him back a little bit in this one. He wasn't in the entire game. He played the fewest snaps of the wide receivers and only 2 targets. Do you still feel confident in starting him?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, there's going to be better matchups for him. He's going to be healthier. And we've seen what he can do when he's healthy this year and last year. I mean, I think Jameson Crowder, we know who he is when he's healthy, when it's not just an overly tough matchup. I think you feel good about just plugging him in there as your wide receiver 3 or a flex.
Yates, thoughts on the Jets wide receivers?
Completely agree. I think Jameson Crowder is the one that you want to, you know, plug into your lineup as a reliable option with Sam Darnold at quarterback. But then outside of that, it's really just a dart throw with Breshad Perriman or Denzel Mims at this point as flex plays that you're hoping they're able to find the end zone. With this offense, unlikely to happen every single week. So, yeah, it's just I'll let someone else roll the dice. But Jameson Crowder is the one that I would be going with.
All right, let's get to the most traded players. Again, we fantasy managers import their leagues and their teams into our My Playbook feature, fantasypros.com/myplaybook. And I'm able to look at the players that have been traded the most over any given time period. So what I've done is I've looked at the most traded players since week 9 ended. So this is just now it's ended. We're looking forward. These are the most traded players. Then you can see popular searches for trades that people are looking at making, not even in my playbook, just the fantasypros.com/trade. So I'll read off a couple of those. As Yates knows by this point, some of them get pretty wild. But anyway, we will look at those. Let's start with Antonio Brown, one of the most traded players. Terrible game for the Bucks on Sunday night. Just absolutely preposterously terrible. He did play 39 snaps, Brown, a little shy of both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin on Sunday night. 5 targets, 3 catches, 31 yards. You can assume that this is probably the low point for the Bucs offense that we saw on Sunday night. But how do you value Antonio Brown going forward, Brandon?
Kind of in that wide receiver 3 class. Look, there's a lot of mouths to feed there. That it's hard to glean anything from that game because of, you know, it's probably going to be the worst you've ever seen Tom Brady in this in an offense play. But, you know, kind of late in that game, Antonio Brown caught a sort of a deeper slant, and he made a great play to go up and get the ball. And I remember Chris Collinsworth. I was thinking the same moment Chris Collinsworth said it, what I was thinking, which was that he made a whole lot of those plays for Pittsburgh. And, you know, I think he's still in great shape. I think he's still a you know, uber talented receiver, and I think that'll show out. Again, it's going to be him kind of getting acclimated, finding his place in this group. But I think he's probably ending up, you know, being the number 2 guy most weeks. I think he's going to be the guy that maybe doesn't have the highest ceiling each week, but it maybe has the best floor.
Yeah, that catch was, Collinsworth remarked on it. And yeah, that was something to watch. How about you, Yates? How do you feel about Brown here?
Yeah, a lot of the same thoughts here as Brandon, that looking at what I wanted to see from Antonio Brown was, okay, what's his, you know, physical shape? What does he look like on the field? And from everything that I saw, he looked perfectly healthy. He looked like he'd been keeping himself in shape. But you did see a couple of, you know, not rookie mistakes, but, you know, mistakes that a first time player in this offense would make. And one of the interceptions that Brady threw, well, of the many, was a clear miscommunication from Antonio Brown and Tom Brady. Antonio Brown did a comeback and it was supposed to be a go. And, you know, the safety creeping over the top was just able to intercept it because that's where Brady thought Antonio Brown was going to be. You saw that on a couple of different occasions with Antonio Brown in this game. So, again, I don't want to take away a lot from this game because it was just this is the worst that we will ever see, hopefully. And Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans are hoping that this is the absolute worst that we will ever see this offense. And I think it can only go up from here. And so I don't want to take away a ton from this game. But yet, yeah, I think Antonio Brown, a low-end wide receiver 3, in my rest of season rankings, and I think that he does possess some ceiling week in and week out, though.
All right, let's go to the most searched for trades. Again, it's unclear whether or not all of these are actually being made, but these are fantasy managers who are considering these types of trades. So let's just go through it. Let's do receiver by receiver first, then we'll do a little of cross position here. So Brandon, would you prefer Antonio Brown or Deontay Johnson rest of season?
I will go with Deontay Johnson. You know, I think he's still, you have to consider him when he's healthy, the number one target in that offense. So just for that fact alone, it's a good offense to be the number one target, and I'll take him.
How about you, Yates?
Yep, completely agree. I'll go Deontay Johnson and the target volume.
Antonio Brown, or let's assume it's half PPR. Okay, let's just go with that so we can make it easy. Antonio Brown or Jarvis Landry? Brandon.
I'm going to go Antonio Brown just for the quarterback that he's tied to.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, that's close because Jarvis Landry is going to see a ton of targets in this offense now with OBJ out, but I will go with Antonio Brown.
Yeah, that is the line, but I agree. I will go with the upside of Antonio Brown. How about Antonio Brown or Jameson Crowder?
I'll go with Antonio Brown because I think a lot of weeks it's 7 to 10 points for the Jets.
Yeah, that's fair. How about you, Yates?
Yeah, I'll tie myself to the better offense there.
How about Antonio Brown or Brandon Ayuk?
I will go with Antonio Brown, assuming Debo Samuel is back in short order.
Yates.
Yeah, Debo Samuel's the wild card there. If he's out, then I'll take Ayuk. If Debo Samuel comes back, then I will take Antonio Brown.
All right, let's go a little cross position here. Another big searched for trade is Antonio Brown or Jonathan Taylor. Go ahead, Brandon.
Gonna believe in that schedule, believe that he will be the majority shareholder the rest of the way, but it's a little closer.
Yeah. How about you, Yates?
Yeah, I'll do the same thing. I'll go with Jonathan Taylor.
There is nobody who I have less faith in my ability to project going forward than Jonathan Taylor, but I agree. I will also go Jonathan Taylor. How about last one, Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell? Brandon?
Absolutely Antonio Brown.
Yates?
Yep, completely agree.
Yeah, we're all on the same page. Let's go to the next one of the next most traded players. That's DJ Moore. We talked about him a little bit yesterday, Yates, when we were talking about Curtis Samuel here. Just two catches for 18 yards against the Falcons. Back-to-back games now with two catches. He's seeing roughly seven targets per game. He's not finding the end zones that much. So how do you feel here, Brandon, about DJ Moore going forward?
I'm concerned because Robbie Anderson came off a 13-target game, but Curtis Samuel had nine. He's been playing great. If you look at these past three games with Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore has eight total catches. You know, one of those games was 93 yards and two touchdowns, but the last two were nothing. And that's what happens when you don't have the helium of volume, is you have to be hyper efficient with very few targets. And that's a rough game to play in fantasy, to just be hoping for that week in and week out. So I think the roller coaster ride of DJ Moore has me very concerned.
How about you, Yates?
I mean, I'm just an echo chamber here for Brandon. He's making some great points. I completely agree that, you know, if you're not getting the volume and you are now the wide receiver three in an offense that isn't necessarily a super pass happy offense, right? So if you're not getting a ton of volume, then you are rolling the dice with him finding the end zone, which he historically has not done, or then being super efficient with his touches. And that is just not a game that I'm willing to play. So I've got him at wide receiver 31 in my rest of season ranking. So I still think that he can be rolled out there as a low end wide receiver three. The matchup plays a role in that. But yeah, I'm definitely concerned.
All right, let's work our way down here. Given all the searches, there's a lot of them for DJ Moore. Brandon, let's start with DJ Moore or Chris Godwin going forward.
Godwin.
Yeah, I'm going to assume you're Godwin.
Godwin,
Yates, so I'm not even asking.
Mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know, once you're 31, I'm going to know your answer to a lot of these, but you can blame the fantasy managers who are asking these questions. Brandon, DJ Moore or Cooper Kupp?
I'm going to go with Cooper Kupp.
Yates.
Cooper Kupp.
I'm still going to make you answer, Yates. Don't worry.
That's fine.
DJ Moore or Justin Jefferson?
Justin Jefferson.
Yates.
Jefferson. I don't think Minnesota is going to be able to run the ball as well as they have in two really, really good matchups recently.
Okay, we are so far all on the same side. Let's go with DJ Moore or Robert Woods.
Yeah, I'll go with Robert Woods.
Yates.
Yep, I'm going to go with Robert Woods, especially when you factor in they play Seattle this week.
Okay, we talked about Jarvis Landry. DJ Moore or Jarvis Landry, Brandon?
Ooh, that's a good one. I might just go slightly DJ Moore here.
Okay. Yates.
That one's super close. I think I'll still go DJ Moore there. But again, those are in the same tier. And if we've talked about it, Dan, if wide receivers are in the same tier for us, then you don't make that move. You just stick with who you've got.
People love making one-for-one trades in the same position of guys who are interchangeable. And just don't do that. Just hold what you got because you're going to be disappointed regardless. Okay, a couple more here, though, guys. There are a lot of searches going on. DJ Moore or Brandon Cooks? Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks has been the number one target there. I'm going to go Brandon Cooks.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, I will too.
Okay, DJ Moore or Jerry Jeudy? Brandon.
I think I'll go with DJ Moore. I love Jerry Jeudy, though. I don't know about the consistency of that Denver offense week in and week out.
Yeah. Yates.
Fair concern. I'm going to go Jerry Jeudy, though. I think the arrow is pointing up for Jeudy, and I think the arrow is pointing down for DJ Moore.
I will go more there because I share a little bit of the concerns here with that Brandon mentioned. Now, finally, I know Yates has answered this because I asked him yesterday, Brandon, Curtis Samuel or DJ Moore?
I actually am fairly infatuated with Curtis Samuel the way he's being utilized right now. I'm going to go with Curtis Samuel.
Okay, Yates, you still have DJ Moore ahead or did you revise after our show?
I said that, you know, Curtis Samuel, he's skyrocketing up my rankings. DJ Moore is plummeting. But yet at the same time, I'm not ready just yet to flip that one more big game here from Curtis Samuel, one more dud game from DJ Moore. That will flip it, though.
All right. Let's go a couple of cross trades here. DJ Moore or DeAndre Swift, Brandon?
I will take a semi-usable running back. I think the premium this year is on that kind of a guy, so I'll go with DeAndre Swift.
How about you, Yates?
I love the classification there, a semi-usable. That's exactly what DeAndre Swift is right now. And even if that's the case with it being a running back, I'll give the edge here to DeAndre Swift.
I agree. I would go with Swift. And DeAndre Swift was the least semi-usable running back that has been searched for. So I'm going to assume we would prefer all other running backs that were searched for over DJ Moore. So let's go on to our next most traded player, DJ Chark. Huge game here with Jake Luton. 12 targets, 7 catches, 146 yards, and the touchdown. Of course, he had that one giant catch right off the bat, but it got involved late in the game. But it was a soft opposing defense. There was no Roby. There was no book on Luton. So Luton's going to continue to start here going forward. They've got Green Bay coming up. How do you value DJ Chark going forward, Brandon?
Yeah, I think you know, you kind of mentioned some of the concerns there. I think as the defense is stiffen up and the book gets going on Luton, that things are going to be a little bit tougher. We've seen DJ Chark be all over the place this year, and you got Green Bay, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. I think this could be a very rough slate for a rookie quarterback, and I think DJ Chark's numbers could follow Luton's down. So, I'm probably putting him in a similar, you know, sort of where we've been talking about, wide receiver three, back end wide receiver three range.
Yeah. How about you, Yates? Because Chark is a tough guy for me to really feel, because I love Chark. I love his talent. I loved him coming in. But I feel uneasy anytime I'm recommending him, even as a start, just generally speaking. He comes with a lot of unease for me. So how do you view Chark going forward?
Yeah, he definitely does. He's a low-end wide receiver two in my rankings, but I could make the case that he could be pushed further down. There's a lot of volatility with this quarterback situation, and when we saw Gardner Minshew at quarterback, you know, granted we didn't know about the injury at that point, but Chark's, you know, production was struggling. So I think Chark is a clear sell high for me off of this game. If you can sell him for someone who doesn't have as many questions surrounding him, then I would absolutely do that.
All right, a lot of the same names here being searched for. Let's see, DJ Chark or Brandon Cooks. Brandon?
I will take Brandon Cooks.
Yates?
Yeah, that's a clear example of what I was talking about, that Brandon Cooks doesn't have any questions surrounding his workload, his situation. He's getting consistent target volume, and he's producing with it. So I will go with Brandon Cooks there.
How about DJ Chark or Mike Evans, Brandon?
I think DJ Chark, just because I think most weeks, if he's healthy, he's getting a really good volume.
Yates?
Yep, going DJ Chark there.
I, if Mike Evans is in the question, I'm always assuming that Yates is going the other way. Finally, DJ Chark or Deontay Johnson, Brandon?
I will go with Deontay Johnson.
How about you, Yates?
I will as well.
Okay. Now let's get to the most traded player. I left this for last because we dealt with him last week on this show. But of course, you understandable why fantasy managers are just trading this guy nonstop. That is Ezekiel Elliott. He was questionable coming into this game against the Steelers. Sounded like he wasn't even going to play. Then he was going to be active, but he wasn't going to get the bulk of the snaps or the work. That was a lie. He did 18 for 51 plus two catches for 18 yards against the Steelers. So that certainly, if you started him, you probably were not all that disappointed given what you were looking at. Now they've got the bye coming up. But what are your thoughts here, Brandon, on Ezekiel Elliott rest of season?
Yeah, well, once Dak went out and once we saw him with Dalton and then with DiNucci and then with Garrett Gilbert, my impression is he's become David Montgomery. You know, there's volume. It's empty volume for the most part. But volume plays this year at the running back position. If you can get, you know, you get those 60-plus yards and, you know, at least a hope and prayer of a touchdown, that's something you're going to throw in your lineup most weeks. So, you know, Andy Dalton coming back, I have some hope that it actually be a little bit better than what we've seen the last couple weeks. But still, it's obviously a big downgrade from where he was at to start the year.
Yates, what's your latest on Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah, the Dallas offense showed some signs of life here this past week with Garrett Gilbert at quarterback. And it does sound like, coming off their bye, that Andy Dalton should be back. So, I mean, Andy Dalton wasn't exactly lighting things up. So I think that, you know, the David Montgomery comparison is completely fair. That very little scoring upside in this offense, even if Dalton comes back, but volume plays. And the one thing that I would love to see more is that to get him involved in the receiving game. I mean, he's a fantastic receiver, but I mean, the last three games, two targets, three targets, like he's just not being utilized. If we see that usage go up, then he presents an even safer floor, because the past 3 weeks he's finished as the RB40, the RB32, and the RB29 in half PPR scoring. So he's someone who is not hurting your lineup, but he's not exactly helping it either.
Okay, trade questions all over the map. As you might imagine, here are the most searched for. Would you rather have Ezekiel Elliott or Josh Jacobs? Brandon?
I would way rather have Josh Jacobs.
We're not in the same time zone as far as I'm concerned, but how about you, Yates?
Yeah, I don't understand how that's a real look,
get
Josh
ready.
Jacobs, man.
Well, actually, it's funny because they don't love Josh Jacobs, and I'm going to list him in one of our segments coming up later, but certainly, no, that's not where you need to be right now. Okay, Ezekiel Elliott or Kareem Hunt?
Kareem Hunt.
Yates?
Yeah, Kareem Hunt. Even with Nick Chubb supposed to be coming back this week, I'll still take Kareem Hunt as a high upside RB2.
I still don't think we're in the right time zone. I think we're getting close, but we're still not there. How about Ezekiel Elliott or Todd Gurley, Brandon?
You know what? I'm going to take Todd Gurley. The guy is just getting you know, goal line opportunities week in and week out. As long as that knee holds up, it's a concern for me, but I will go with Todd Gurley.
Yates?
Yeah, both getting volume. Todd Gurley, insanely inefficient with this opportunity, but he has scoring upside in this offense. So I'll go with the scoring upside here of Todd Gurley.
Yeah, I think we have entered the correct zone. This is about where Zeke needs to be sort of thought of. How about Zeke or Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Boy, I guess I'm going to go Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm one of the lower in the industry, I'm sure, on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I don't think he's going to be as bad as we've seen the last couple weeks.
Yates?
Yeah, we're right in that same range. I have CEH one spot ahead of Zeke in my rest of season ranking, so I'll take CEH.
How about Zeke or Jonathan Taylor?
I'm gonna go with Jonathan Taylor just for that schedule. He's got one of the best schedules the rest of the way, and I do think he's going to get back on top of Jordan Wilkins here pretty soon.
Yeah, just so you know, like, legitimately, the Jonathan Taylor versus Jordan Wilkins is a huge debate. Yates and I are on the same side, basically, but Tags is constantly talking about Jordan Wilkins, and Yates and I are like, we do not want any of this. It's going to be Jonathan Taylor eventually, we hope. How about you, Yates? Who do you prefer there?
Oh, man, that's pretty close right now. Given what I know with the usage of this backfield, I'll take Ezekiel Elliott. But the promise, the upside, if I need the upside play, you know, then I take Jonathan Taylor due to his schedule.
All right, last running back here, then a couple of wide receivers, then we'll move on. Last running back, Melvin Gordon or Zeke?
Yeah, it's definitely Zeke for me.
Yates?
Yeah, I'll take Zeke.
I agree with that one. All right, let's get to a couple of wide receivers here. And again, you know, it's always need-based, but let's just see, generally speaking, where the value is. How about Ezekiel Elliott or Tyler Lockett, Brandon?
I'm going to go Lockett.
Yates?
Yeah, I'll go Lockett there.
I agree. How about Ezekiel Elliott or Mike Evans?
I think I'd rather have the consistent volume than the every once in a while big game.
Yep. How about you, Yates?
Yeah, I'll take the running back in this situation.
As would I. How about Zeke or Adam Thielen?
I'm going to go Thielen.
Yates?
I'll go Thielen as well.
How about Zeke or Fulgham?
I love Fulgham, but I got to go.
Me too.
I got to go Elliott. With Rieger back, you never know if there's going to be a changing of the number one go-to guy there.
Yates?
Yeah, Fulgham comes with a ton of question marks now that you have Jeffrey apparently returning to practice, and who knows if he's even real at this point, but he could be back in the lineup this week. And then Dallas Goedert, Jalen Reagor, Miles Sanders back in the lineup this week. There are just now a lot of mouths to feed in this offense, so I'll take the proven, safe volume there with Zeke.
Last one, Zeke or Juju Smith-Schuster?
Nah, I'm going to go with Zeke.
Yates?
That's super close, but I'll take Zeke.
All right, before we keep going, guys, it might be like 70 degrees here today somehow, but brace yourself because winter is coming. And it's true, you're not going to be battling White Walkers or the Night King or be wondering why everyone loved Jon Snow so much when he was literally the worst general of all time. Seriously, have a plan that doesn't just work out because of some random miracle. Anyway, winter's coming, and we all let ourselves go and wear giant sweatshirts and don't care about what we look like, right? Well, that's a huge mistake. You need to care about what you look like and what you smell like and just what you are. You all know Manscaped, right? You know their Lawnmower 3.0, the premier below-the-belt trimmer that's waterproof and has advanced skin-safe technology to reduce nicks and cuts. They've got the Crop Preserver, the Crop Reviver, the Crop Mop Ball Wipes, all items that will keep you fresh below the belt. But Manscaped has you covered everywhere this winter. The Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer also uses proprietary skin safe technology to help prevent nicks, snags, and tugs. The Foot Duster foot deodorant keeps your feet smelling fine. Manscaped's Refined Cologne, it's a clean and fresh scent designed for all the refined gentlemen in the world. All of this is in Manscaped's perfect package. But they're also throwing in the Shed travel bag to carry your goods and the Manscaped anti-chafing boxer briefs to hold the entire package together. Winter is coming. Do not be like the wildlings. Take care of yourself. Right now, get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Yates at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com with the code Yates. Join the Manscaped movement. All right, let's go to buy low, sell high. This is it. Trade deadlines are coming up right now. This is where fantasy managers are really looking to finally make sure that they're capitalizing on opportunities where they can do better and that they are getting rid of players who they think they can sell high on. So let's start with buy low. Who's your choice here, Brandon?
Well, I'm going to call Kareem Hunt a potential buy low just because he's had two of his last three games have been duds. because he's went on the bye and because Nick Chubb is coming back. And I just think all those things could lower a price on a guy who has been just as good with Nick Chubb as he's been without. Was averaging 15 touches in the first three games of the year when Chubb was healthy and was doing great. And you look at the schedule, it's one of the easiest for running backs going forward. So just looking around at some of the deals just to see if that, you know, proved out as such that he was getting, you know, drawing, you know, lower value than I think he should in trades. And I've seen, you know, just the ones that I hunted down, I saw a 1-for-1 for Kenyon Drake. I saw, you know, 1-for-1 for Robbie Anderson, a 1-for-1 for Chase Claypool. I saw you can get, you know, there was a deal that was Kareem Hunt and T. Higgins for Calvin Ridley. I like all those. I would take the Hunt side on every one of those. I would take the Hunt side on Zeke, as you mentioned. So I think there's deals out there that will provide you good value if you see Kareem Hunt.
I think that that's right, because I do think that people sort of viewed the difference is it was like Kareem Hunt was like a borderline RB1 even when Chubb was there. And so then Chubb went out and you were like, oh man, this could be a top five guy. And he kind of disappointed to where that was. But now that Chubb is back, especially without OBJ, like, he's still basically an RB1, and I think people are kind of falling off that. So certainly, if there is a buy low opportunity there, that's a good spot to go. How about you, Yates? Do you agree with that Hunt would be a buy low if you can get it?
Yeah, it all depends on what you'd be giving up. But yeah, I totally agree that, you know, he's someone that people are kind of off of based on what he's done the past couple weeks and the expectations that we had when Nick Chubb went out. So yeah, I like the call.
Okay, how about you, Yates? Who's your buy low?
I'm going to stay in Cleveland, and I'm going to actually mention two guys here as buy lows. And it's not necessarily that these are guys who have disappointed, but yet this is your opportunity if you are making a playoff push to buy them at their lowest point, and it's Miles Sanders and Nick Chubb. Both of these guys should be, if you are making a playoff push, you should be going to these to the fantasy managers who have these two players and getting them based on whatever you can give them, because these two guys can set you up for a deep playoff push now that they're coming back, especially this week. Nick Chubb going up against Houston, he's going to go off if he isn't truly active for this game. So he's going to go off against this defense, and this is the last time that you're going to be able to get Nick Chubb, like, for whatever you can get. You know, like, the value for him is going to be sky high after this game. So, and it's the same with Miles Sanders. He's a proven running back who has volume. So again, it's not necessarily a situation where you're buying low because, you know, they've disappointed, but yet with the injuries, this is the lowest point that their value is right now, and you need to go get them if you're making a playoff push.
You know, I'm wondering, Yates, are you able to buy low on these guys now that they are basically on the verge of coming back? I'm honestly wondering because I haven't seen them traded all that much. They're both coming off bye weeks. I felt like maybe even coming into their bye week, if you could have gotten that might have been the time. I'm wondering, are fantasy managers now who have been waiting, especially for Chubb, but for Sanders for a couple of weeks, are you think they're still willing to sell quote-unquote low, even though they're about to get them back right now?
Yeah, again, it comes with the qualification here that you're going to have to spend. Like, you're going to have to spend to get them, but yet at the same time, like, I think that they're worth trying, at least sending out the offers. So, and especially too, if you have the teams in your league, the fantasy managers who are out of playoff contention and they're now starting to just, you know, not pay as close attention and starting to drop off, well, then that's a point where you can go to them and say, again, don't have collusion and don't send away just anyone to get them. But yet at the same time, try to get these assets that can set you up. So again, it's worth a shot and it's situation by situation, but I did want to mention them to put it at least on fantasy managers' radar to see, like, send out an offer and see if you can get them away. Like, some of these guys who you can sell high, like a Travis Fulgham or even a Curtis Samuel. Like, if you can try, a team is loaded at running back now with Nick Chubb coming back and they have a need at wide receiver, see if you can sell high on Curtis Samuel.
Brandon, right now, without having seen them play, I mean, I think we're just assuming, you know, that Nick Chubb has been, at least he's got the 21-day window. We're expecting him to come back this week. We haven't yet seen Miles Sanders. But are you willing to buy both these guys at their kind of normal standard RB1 prices?
I think so. My thought on this, I think it's a good call. I love when you can try to trade, or you can trade for somebody where the person that's rostering him has basically absorbed all the times they've been out, and you can come and get them right before they come back. And here's the deal. I think the psychology is that, okay, Christian McCaffrey goes out, and let's say right away on the high ankle sprain, you know he's going to miss several weeks. You can trade for him for like 50 cents on the dollar. And every week it goes up, you know, 60 cents on the dollar, and it gets closer and closer. But I think what happens is people tend to think that the guy will come back and maybe he's not going to be the same player. But when these guys are coming back, unless they're like dealing with some degenerative thing, they're typically 100%. And we saw that with Christian McCaffrey. He came back, he looked exactly the same guy. Now, he did get the shoulder injury, but he was Christian McCaffrey. If you were able to get him even the week before he came back at 90 cents on the dollar, that's still a score for you. And I think that's the way you got to look at Nick Chubb and Miles Sanders.
All right. So look, I'll say that my buy low, you're not supposed to always feel great about your buy low. You're not always supposed to be like, this is a smash spot. I guarantee I feel like I'm going to run away with this one. It's a guy we talked about at Brandon. And you and I kind of look at this the same way. It's Jonathan Taylor. And I get this is it's certainly possible that this is not going to work out. Okay. If he fumbles again, you saw he fumbled and that was basically it for him. He got one touch coming up. But the schedule, and this is a league winning play here for you.
Yeah.
If Taylor, right? If they're not, the Colts have playoff aspirations. They're not going to get there with Phillip Rivers throwing the ball. And I'm sorry, but they're not going to get there with Jordan Wilkins getting the majority of the touches. At some point, Taylor, you know, we are all hoping Yates, you and I talk about it. Give him the ball 20 times. See what I know it has been disappointing. I know it looks like he runs into his offensive line every single time. I know he had fumble problems in college. But at this point, give him the ball, see if he can wear down a defense. And Brandon, you mentioned it with the schedule. Tennessee on Thursday, Green Bay, Tennessee, Houston, Las Vegas, Houston. Like, this is a guy who can legitimately win you your league. And while people like us are sitting there viewing it, Tags, very smart guy, like super sharp. Tags is off Jonathan Taylor. He's done. There are going to be managers out there who are willing to sell him for, like, you know, probably like sub RB2 prices at this point because they don't feel confident starting him. And I would absolutely take my shot on this and see if I could buy low. Can I assume, based on the discussions that we've had on this podcast, that you guys are both with me on a buy low situation for Jonathan Taylor? Start with Brandon.
Yeah, I think if people are just out on him, and I'm sure people that have had him rostered all year are just extremely frustrated, you know, and that is just a bias that you could want to take advantage of. But the schedule is going to be a great deodorant here. And he was actually running well until just these last couple weeks. He came out the bye and things have kind of went awry. But he's a number 41 pick overall. It's basically the running back equivalent of being a first rounder these days, right? So I believe in, you know, draft capital. Jordan Wilkins has been a guy that they've had at the back end of their depth chart for years. If they were so sold on him, I don't think they'd go out and use a pick on Jonathan Taylor. Look, I like Jordan Wilkins. I think he's an excellent NFL backup. But I don't, you know, you draft Jonathan Taylor to be your running back of the future. I think ultimately that's going to have to bubble up and down the stretch here. And you get a bunch of soft matchups and we see Jonathan Taylor's sub 4.4 speed get a chance to be, you know, showcased a couple times on some big plays. And suddenly they're going to be like, you know what? Big plays are what kind of make the world go round in the NFL and on offenses. And we need to have this guy out here a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, Tags mentioned the whole, like, Raheem Mostert, where you have a guy who's kind of a journeyman and doesn't get, and then gets his chance and then is a star. But you mentioned it. Wilkins has been in this offense. This is a new team. It's not like he's, like, they know what they have in Wilkins, and they haven't wanted to turn it over when the alternative was Marlon Mack. So for me, I'm willing to take the shot. And again, if the way I view the market, first of all, when in leagues where I roster Jonathan Taylor, the sharp managers, right? You know those guys, right? You play in your home leagues. There are always a couple of guys who really know what they're doing. Not our analyst leagues, but the home leagues that you have. There are a couple of guys, they're all trying to get Taylor. They're all out there trying to get Taylor for bargain prices, and you can't. But I have seen people, when they ask, should I trade Taylor for this? No, you for the most part, you shouldn't. If you can get strong RB2 prices, like, I'm okay with that then. But I think this is a guy who you should target, especially if you're basically looking at your situation where you're almost a lock to make the playoffs at this point. I would certainly be looking for the upside. Yates, you agree with this?
Yeah, I love the call. And I love that you gave the qualification that this might not work out. But yet, yes, based on what you have to give up, with the schedule, with the fact that he has the draft capital in his corner, you know, that it could easily turn into a league-winning trade at the trade deadline. So yeah, go get Jonathan Taylor for super cheap right now. I mean, I put out a post 2 weeks ago asking, like, hey, what are people feeling on Jonathan Taylor right now? And that was after the Detroit game. And people were saying, like, I'm dropping him. Like, there were some people in my mentions saying, like, I'm just dropping him. Like, I'm doing whatever I can to get him off my roster. And so that's kind of the same mentality right now, especially when you look at the running back snap. So, again, it might not work out, but yet, based on everything, the potential, it's worth the shot.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you knew that buying low on something was going to work out, then his fantasy manager wouldn't be trading him to you almost certainly. So that's where we're there. Okay, let's get the sell high here, Brandon. Who's your sell high candidate?
I'm going to go with Will Fuller, who has great touchdown streak going. He's a top 10 wide receiver, but I mentioned the volume here. You got Brandon Cooks is really kind of turned into the number one guy here. And you know, you look at Brandon Cooks, the last four games has no less than 9 targets. Now, Will Fuller's targets are all over the map. The last two, he's had 5 and 6. And if I can go out and shop a top 10 receiver who is actually the number 2 receiver on his team, and by the way, his quarterback has what's considered the toughest schedule the rest of the way. And we've seen Deshaun Watson when they're not protecting him and he's got a lot of pressure, it can be a little bit dicey with him in that passing game sometimes. So you worry about with Will Fuller, he's top 10 right now, but is he going to be like top 20 to 25 the rest of the way? And if I can sell him as a top 15 wide receiver right now, I'm going to take that difference and run with it. So yeah, Will Fuller is a guy for me.
Yeah, that's a good call. Again, you remembered what Deshaun Watson and that passing game kind of looked like when they started and they had all these tough matchups and everybody was like, well, the schedule is going to soften up. But yeah, it's going to get tougher here for the passing game coming up. I mean, they've got 2 matchups with Indianapolis coming up. They've got Chicago. So I like that call with Will Fuller. Absolutely. What about you, Yates?
Yeah, no, I don't mind it. It depends on what you're going to be able to get for him. But if you can flip him for someone who's in that range who doesn't have the question marks, again, I'm all for selling high with these players. So there are very few players in the NFL that I will say do not sell high on these guys. You know, they're locked in and that tier is like Davante Adams, Julio Jones, and DeAndre Hopkins. You know, like there are very few players that enter that conversation. So if you can sell high and you can get one of those other guys and go up, then yeah, absolutely do it.
My buy low Kareem Hunt is a guy that I would seek out with a Will Fuller. I think that's the kind of deal I'd be looking for. So just to throw that
okay.
out there.
I love it. Okay, go ahead, Yates. Who do you have now for your sell high?
Yeah, it's not because I'm not buying into this guy based on what we've seen, and I believe he's the wide receiver 2 on his team now, but we talked about him earlier. It's Curtis Samuel. That Curtis Samuel, I believe, can be a reliable fantasy option moving forward, but yet his value right now is sky high. And so if I can flip him for a more proven commodity, a more proven asset, then I am absolutely going to do that. And it's not, again, it's not because I'm not excited about Curtis Samuel or think that he's going to be a reliable option, but it's all about can I flip him? Can I take the value right now and flip it for someone who is a more proven commodity? Then I'm going to do that.
This definitely sounds like there's some sort of trade for you two to work out in cross leagues with Curtis Samuel and Will Fuller. It would be good. Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. Samuel is an interesting case because if his perceived value is super, super high, my worry with some of these guys is, again, Samuel was still pretty, I mean, he's our waiver wire pickup Yates, which means he's not, you know, rostered in that many leagues. But I do agree, you know, with what you're saying, essentially, is that you can get rid of him high. Then I certainly would. Now, Mike Yates, you're going to yell at me because I know I pick these high players. And you're like, who are you selling them for? Like, who are you willing to take over these guys? Because I mentioned like Stephon Diggs last week and you were like, well, who are you selling Stephon Diggs for that you're willing to take? And I'm like, I agree. If you could, I just feel like the value is like a top 3. For me, it's Josh Jacobs. So let's make it clear. I like Josh Jacobs. I have him valued as like a low end, essentially RB1. Like he's a guy you're starting each and every week. I'm not looking to get rid of him. I'm getting a little worried, though, about, you know, he had this knee thing that had him legitimately questionable coming into this game. He ran pretty well in this game against the Chargers, but so did Devontae Booker, who looked a little bit more explosive when he got more work. And I'm a little worried that they're going to go ahead and give him some. The schedule's not terrible. I mean, they have Denver, then KC, Atlanta, the Jets. So not the worst. Then Indy, that's a little tougher. But I feel like, you know, after his 31 carry game and given the fact that he's kind of being managed with his workload a little bit, I feel like if you can sell Jacobs as sort of this top 6 back, which I feel like based on the offers that I'm seeing, I might be willing to do because I have a few more concerns about him than I think I otherwise would. Brandon, what are your thoughts on Jacobs?
I'm a buyer, so you're going to sell him to me because I want.
This is great. Let's involve Kareem Hunt and Will Fuller. We'll get a trade working. Go ahead.
Because I want him, you know, and I don't think that we've necessarily seen the best of Josh Jacobs. I could almost argue that you could claim him to be a little bit more of a buy low than a sell high just because I think his ceiling if they, you know, they kind of gone away from using him in the passing game the last couple of weeks. If that comes back around, I think the touchdowns have been spotty. I think that could be a little bit more consistent. I'm wondering if they're planning on just, you know, going full Josh Jacobs down the stretch, and that some of this management was just to get him into the later stretches here as they make their playoff push. So I'd be a buyer, but that's, you know, I'm probably helping your case here a little bit.
This is good. Although, and I look, I'll go to you, Yates, in a second. I rostered Josh Jacobs in a couple of leagues, and I have not accepted offers where there are a lot of offers. So people are viewing it like you. I've not yet accepted offers. This is something where I'm saying if people are buyers and they're willing to give you sort of top value for him, like, let me ask something. Would you prefer James Robinson or Josh Jacobs going forward, Brandon?
I think that's very close. I would probably take the Josh Jacobs side. Again, he's number two in total carries. And it's just, man, it gets rough after those top six running backs. This right. year, it gets rough. So yeah. I like the volume. To me, it's an ascending offense. And I just think the best of Josh Jacobs might still be yet to come.
All right, Yates, break the tie. How do you feel about Jacobs?
Man, I can see both sides of this. I think it's a really, really even argument. So I've got Jacobs at 9 in my mm-hmm. rest of the season running back ranking. So I think that you still can go up, but yet he's not coming off of this monster game. Like, if you wanted to sell him last week, then I think that would have been the opportunity off of 31 carries for, 129 rushing yards. So I think, like, that would have been the time. Okay, sell him now because you can market 31 total carries. Yes, he is still seeing an insane amount of work on the ground. And so I can see both sides of it where it's like, yes, he could be a, you know, buy low, but yes, he could also be a sell high. So it all depends on who you would have to, like, if you want to rely on the name value and flip Josh Jacobs for James Robinson, I would actually take the James Robinson side of that. I have Robinson at 7 because I think he is seeing just nearly as much work as Josh Jacobs. James Robinson, there are only 5 other running backs in the NFL who've seen more carries than Robinson this year, and he's producing with it. So I can see both sides of it. I didn't answer that question for you, Dan. But
is that one of those deals that it qualifies as a challenge trade that you're just saying don't do because
yes,
it's two guys right. in the same position and similar tier?
100%. And I think that that's really what it comes down to. I also prefer James Robinson to Josh Jacobs, as I mentioned, but I wouldn't do a one for one either way though, because I'm just not doing the one for one. But I do think that that's sort of, in terms of listing him as a buy low, I think that the majority of fantasy managers would probably prefer Jacobs just because of the name value. Robinson doesn't get the respect he deserves probably anyway, but regardless. And so I think if you can value him sort of at that mold, then there are deals to be made based on that. That's sort of what I think. But again, Jacobs is my 10th running back going forward. So this is like not sell by any means. Again, I will reiterate, it is sell high. All right, let's get to some rest of season risers and fallers. We can move pretty quickly here, but give me a riser for you from last week into this week.
Nick Chubb for me. Yep. He still had a little bit of, you know, there was uncertainty whether or not he was going to be coming back. So I had him at 18 in my rest of season running back rankings. I've now moved him up to 12. I think that mm-hmm. based on the running back landscape, one, we have a little bit more clarity that he's going to be coming back. And then two, some of these other guys falling made way here for Nick Chubb to move up. So I think that Nick Chubb is absolutely someone who should be looked at as a low-end RB1 with upside every single week.
Yeah, I have moved all the guys who are dealing with injuries just as they get closer, generally speaking, and especially Chubb and Miles Sanders, who go right back into RB1 territory where they were sitting in RB2 for rest of season. Also, Raheem Mostert, who might be back, he is also vaulting.
Joe Mixon, too.
Joe Mixon as well, right? I hadn't dropped Mixon quite as much right now because
right.
I guess I had a little more, like it didn't seem as serious. But regardless, you're right. All those guys move from basically RB2 to RB1 territory. Raheem Mostert is a guy who basically, because it was very uncertain about his long-term outlook, now it seems like he's kind of on the verge of returning. So I've moved him closer to RB2 territory. A couple other guys. These are obvious ones. Mike Davis, who had basically plummeted down my rankings, I now am expecting him to essentially start even in the tough matchup. He moves up. Two other guys who I will mention, then I will ask Brandon if you could comment on them or if you have your own, by all means. No. JD McKissick is a guy who, to be fair, I had artificially low. I just wanted no piece of JD McKissick. And Yates, we had a long talk about him yesterday, especially in PPR leagues. He's somebody who was like 66. That was like a don't ever pick him up. He's now 40th. And Wayne Gallman, another guy who I think my guess is he's just basically carved out the role in the Giants backfield, regardless of Devonta Freeman, because he has run pretty well. So he's gone from another guy who was just ahead ahead of McKissick at 65th. He's up to 45th for me now. Brandon, do you have anybody, or would you like to comment?
You right away mentioned the guy that just came to mind, which is Raheem Mostert. That he's about to come back. I'm very interested because Kyle Shanahan has been one of these frustrating head coaches in terms of backfield management, but he seemed to really start to commit to Raheem Mostert as a featured back, something you don't normally see with the 49ers. So I think in the situation that he'll return, he's going to be a high priority guy in that offense and continue to be the featured guy. So I'm down on that. And I'm also down on both of the football team's running backs in the Alex Smith world. JD McKissick, because Alex Smith is so conservative and is going to live in that short passing game. And the fact that with Alex Smith and maybe the lower upside of that overall passing game, that Antonio Gibson continues to be mined as a true featured guy. And it was nice to see him get back involved in the passing game a little bit as well this past week.
You know, it's going to be awesome when Raheem Mostert is active this week and Jamichael Hasty gets 25 carries, 40 yards. It's going to be some Kyle Shanahan shenanigans. Okay, running back faller. I will go here to Yates then for Brandon to start, and you can list somebody off afterwards if you want. Yates, who's a running back faller for you rest of the
season? Yeah, it's not due to his injury. It's just based on the offense. This is the week that I was finally like, okay, the Bears offense is going absolutely nowhere. I was holding out a sliver of hope for David Montgomery, but this offense is one of the worst, if not the worst, in the NFL. David Montgomery fell from RB12 to RB20 in my rest of the season rankings, so he's still someone that you can roll out, assuming that he's fully healthy. But, I mean, he's not... My voice just cracked real bad there. He's not as involved in the passing game as he has been recently, so that's concerning. That was what was giving him that safe floor week in and week out, and that's not there anymore. So, David Montgomery's fallen down my rankings.
Yeah, a guy for me who's fallen a little bit is Todd Gurley. And again, he scored another touchdown this past week. But I've had him pretty high in my rest of season rankings just because, again, he had such a solid schedule for all those weeks. And it started ending. Now he's got the bye. Then he's got New Orleans 2 out of the following 3 weeks. He's still an RB2 for me for sure. But I basically had him at 13, which was pretty artificially high, mainly because you were getting the schedule. He's down to 17, maybe 18 for me once I do the final sweep. Still a guy who you're going out there and starting because he's getting the volume, even if he's inefficient. But he is somebody who's falling down mostly with the schedule. Brandon, you have a name? You want to comment on either one of those?
I'm going to do my rest of season rankings this week. And, somebody like Devin Singletary is just going to be dive bombing down. Is a guy that had 34 yards in a game in which they put up over 40 points. And you look at his playoff schedule, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and Denver, and he's really, I mean, I think Zach Moss is basically taking over there in a matter of speaking. You're hoping that he can have some value still in the passing game, but again, you just played Seattle and you got 3 catches for 33 yards. That's kind of rough. So Singletary is a guy that I'm just going to probably end up burying.
Yeah, he continues to fall down mine as well. Let's go to a wide receiver riser. Yates, start us off. Who do you have somebody who's risen this week in your rest of season rankings?
It's definitely Curtis Samuel. Mm-hmm. He went from, I had him really, really low, and I didn't even realize that I had him this low, but I had him at wide receiver 69 on the season. He moved up to 39. So this was an oversight on my part from last week, and so made up for it here. Again, I talked about the gap between DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel narrowing. I've got DJ Moore at 31 and Curtis Samuel at 39 now. So Samuel, a consistent low in that conversation of a low-end wide receiver 3 with upside every single week.
All right, I'm going to give 3 guys here who have moved up. Juju Smith-Schuster, it was just good to, again, see him heavily involved. He had, I pushed all the Pittsburgh wide receivers down pretty significantly. He was 30th. He's now up to 21st. Keenan Allen, who didn't have that much to rise, but I talked about it with Tags on the Sunday recap show. I had him 10th in my rest of season rankings in half PPR formats. He's now 6th just because there's just no reason to doubt him at this point. He's a guy who's so locked in there with guaranteed solid wide receiver 1 value that I felt the need to even point out that I'm pushing him even higher. And Amari Cooper, Tags had sort of teased me about how low I had dropped every single Dallas wide receiver. I agree it had been a little artificially low considering that the quarterback play, Andy Dalton coming back or whoever you want to have right now who's not named Ben DiNucci, I moved him from 35 to 26. Still a wide receiver 3, but rather than a low-end 1, a high-end 1. So, Brandon, anybody on your radar here?
Well, Curtis Samuel, definitely. He popped to mind. Debo Samuel. Let's just go with Samuels across the board.
Yes.
Debo Samuel coming back. Sort of sort of kind of growing some affinity for Sterling Shepard just because the schedule upcoming, I know he has a bye week in week 11, but you get Cincinnati and Seattle right after that. And he's been, you know, getting 8+ targets. So he's someone that's interesting in moving up for me. And then Jacoby Meyer, I mean, the volume has just been incredible. So there you go.
All right, Yates, wide receiver faller.
Marquise Brown. Going from wide receiver 31 in my rest of season rankings to wide receiver 36. So he's still in that wide receiver 3 conversation, but based on everything we've seen from this passing game this year, you cannot be confident plugging in Marquise Brown as anything more than a low-end wide receiver 3 in your weekly, you know, in your weekly lineup. So yeah, it just has not looked good for the Ravens offense, and he's not providing those huge blow-up games. It's just been mostly like a low floor every single week. So he's one of those guys who's hurting your lineup more than he is helping it.
Yeah, he has been slowly creeping down my rankings every week because just the volume isn't there and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen for really anyone right now in the Baltimore passing game. For me, both Vikings wide receivers, just because I do think, like, I realize that the schedule does get tougher for Dalvin Cook, but I do think this is what they want to do and the volume isn't going to be there. And I had been reluctant to move Thielen down. I mean, Thielen was pretty artificially high in my rankings. He was still 8th. So I've moved him down to 16th. And Justin Jefferson was 24th. I moved him to 29th. And Darius Slayton is another guy. I like Shepard, right? He was a guy we basically got yelled at on Twitter for liking him, along with apparently every other entity. But I've moved him down. I was pretty high on him. Generally speaking, he was 31. He's now closer to 40 for me. So how about you, Brandon? Anybody come to mind?
I'll just say the poor man's version of Marquise Brown is Henry Ruggs. And he's just, I think you just got to blow him off the map. You know, there's been a lot of talk all year long about air yards, air yards, air yards. Oh, he's one of the leader in air yards. You know, at some point, we're halfway through the season, air yards got to pad the bottom line at some point. It's just not happening. And there's just too many games where Derek Carr just ignores him and ignores the wide receiver position in general. So the volume is just hasn't been there and neither has the connection, and air yards be damned. I don't think you can even think about Henry Ruggs in a 12 team league right now as someone you could consider playing.
But to be clear, to the extent you're playing in an air yards only fantasy league, you're good with Ruggs, right? You're good with them there?
I am in air yards only. Absolutely.
I just want to make sure because there are those weird managers out there who are playing like that. Okay. Real quick, so we can get to a couple of listener questions. Yates, give me a QB riser for you this week.
Cam Newton. I had dropped Cam Newton after the poor performances that we had seen a couple weeks ago. But now with his recent performances and that they're utilizing him on the ground, especially back at the goal line, I think that Cam Newton is back in the low-end QB1, high-end QB2 conversation.
All right, for me, Justin Herbert, again, who was already 10th, he's moved up to 8th. And I did move up to Tagovailoa pretty significantly. He's still QB2 territory, but I had him at 25th.
That was solid. That was a really fun game to watch.
Yeah, it was a really fun, not if you had Arizona laying 4.5, though. To 25th, I had him, I've moved him all the way up to 17th. He's still a QB2. He's not somebody who almost any week is going to be in the QB1, you know, discussion for me.
Right.
But he's somebody who I did move up. Anybody on your list, Brandon, or you want to go to QB follow?
Well, no, I mean, Tua was right there for me. I definitely, he is the Tua that we thought he was when we saw that, you know, instead of the game manager. So it was good to see that throwing accurately and actually running around a little bit. I would throw Teddy Bridgewater in there as well. I love the emergence of Curtis Samuel. As long as Christian McCaffrey is not out for an extended period of time, I think Teddy's got a ton of weapons now. And the guys were making plays after plays after plays for him in that game last week. And you can see that just kind of being the thing going forward.
How about you, Yates, for QB faller? Who do you got?
Lamar Jackson just continues steadily week after week, just continues to tick down my running or my Q. My, that was
it's fair. It's a fair. It's a my fair QB Freudian rankings. Slip.
You know, just he found the end zone as a runner this past week, but man, it has not been pretty for
Where
Lamar
is
Jackson
he,
recently.
Where'd he go?
He's QB 10 now, so he's still again he's still someone that you can start every single week, but yet, I mean, I haven't looked where he is now, but last week he was the QB 14 on the entire season. So hasn't been pretty here for Lamar Jackson, especially someone who people were drafting in the early part of the second round in some places.
Brandon, I know you haven't done your rest of season rankings officially yet, but where do you think you'll have Lamar Jackson?
I've typically will just do a top 50 and then the guys that were close. And then last week I did a top, or 2 weeks ago, I did a top 60. He won't be in my top 60, and and I'm ranking for a one QB league. He's maybe in the deeper section of the also-rans.
Wow. Yeah, this is crazy.
I mean, I'm using the same answer there. He's the biggest faller on mine as well.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, he certainly falls each and every week, and I was reluctant to do so, but yeah, you can't deny it at this point. For me, it's nobody exciting. It's just Matthew Stafford, who I basically had as a high-end QB2 who's just fallen further down. He's, you know, obviously dealing with an injury, but he's also 18th right now from 14th. Let's go to a tight end riser, Yates. Who do you got?
Hayden Hurst, a slight rise from tight end 10 to tight end 7, just continues to be involved in this offense. So with the tight end landscape right now, I think that Hurst is a safe option week in and week out. And Tags and I were all about Hayden Hurst in the offseason, so it's really nice to see that he's getting to this point where he's a reliable option week in and week out.
Yeah, I don't have anybody that's going crazy here. I moved Noah Fant a little bit up. I mean, not that Albert O's presence really did that much to it, but he's obviously out for the season. It was good to see him get back, even though he left that game for a little while. I think, as Drew Locke throws more, even with all the weapons, I do like to see Fant involved. And Dallas Goedert, just again, their passer by. He's now got to be fully healthy at this point. I just expect him to be more like he was 10th. He's now 8th, so he's slowly moving up. Anybody you want to mention, Brandon, as a tight end riser?
Goddard's my guy. I think he could legitimately be a top 5 tight end the rest of the year. We got him with his comeback game to get kind of back into the mix, and I think going forward is going to be a lot better for him. I'll throw out Evan Engram too. Just week in and week out, the Giants are forcing, the action his way. They are very adamant, it's clear, about making him one of the centerpieces of the offense. You look at the last 3 weeks, it's been 9, 10, and 10 targets. It's been good numbers. So, I mean, Evan Engram has to move up.
All right, tight end faller Yates.
Mark Andrews. I'll go 3 for 4 here with the Baltimore Ravens offense. Mark Andrews, he fell from 3 to 6 for me. He's no longer someone who I can look at as a top 3 option every single week. He does have the huge potential week in and week out, but yet he comes with an extremely low floor with the way Jackson's looking recently.
Yeah, for me, it's Jared Cook. I think this is much more about the fact that it's two things, really. As the other Saints' weapons get healthier, Yates, he basically needs the touchdown to essentially be effective. So as the other weapons get healthier, I think those are going to be fewer and farther between. And also just generally that I feel better about guys like Hayden Hurst, like Noah Fant, like Dallas Goedert, generally just pushing him down. He's still 12th, so he's borderline startable for me. How about you, Brandon? Anybody on your mind?
Yeah, I got to keep putting Hunter Henry another, lower rung on the ladder. Each week, it's kind of just another one down. But it's been Keenan Allen, it's been Mike Williams, it's been the random like Jalen Guyton, big plays,
yeah.
And Anthony Lynn will never shortchange the 3 running backs he wants to use any given week in the backfield. So Hunter Henry seems to be like the odd man out in this offense under Justin Herbert.
All right, let's finish up with a couple of listener mailbag questions from Connor Donovan. In a keeper league, at what point do you shut things down for the season and try to acquire keepers? He's 3 and 6. He feels like he probably doesn't have a shot rest of season, but he's not sure when the right time is just to pull the trigger. Let's go to you, Yates, because I know you do Dynasty anyway. So let's start with you. When do you shut things down in the keeper league?
Yeah, well, this year's a little bit different because fantasy football across, all platforms is just a weird game week in and week out to try and predict. So some teams are, the most total points scored in their league and they're sitting with a negative record. So I think the record itself, if you're sitting there in a normal year and you're 3 and 6 and you kind of say, okay, this is the time where I can say I'm not competing for a playoff spot. The qualification here is if you can get into the playoffs this year, I'm saying do it. Like make that playoff push because anything can happen once you get into the playoffs, especially this year. So if you're realistically looking at your roster saying I can't get to the playoffs, then this is the time that you start to shift. But if you are still at a point where you say I can get into that last final spot in my league for the playoffs, then I'm still making that push before I start looking and turning my attention towards keepers.
What do you think, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, last year's just a great example. I was in my, I was 3 and 6 and ended up in the championship game of my number one, longest running league. And so I think it's one more week, but I think to Yates's point, like you got to look at what kind of luck you've had. Do you have a great roster and you've had a bunch of guys out, but they're, about all ready to come back together? Or do you have the highest, one of the highest points, but you've just been really unlucky? Or are you just legitimately a 3 and 6 team? I think if you are, you got to be realistic and start making your moves now. But otherwise, I would probably, if you have an inkling of thinking you can be successful still, I would give it another week.
All right. Mad Mardigan asks, essentially, what he asks is, can we agree that J.K. Dobbins is unplayable regardless of anything else? Let's go to you, Brandon.
I love J.K. Dobbins, but I don't love John Harbaugh, and I'm frustrated as like everybody else. I think J.K. Dobbins is almost a Kareem Hunt doppelganger, and I'd love to see him used as a featured guy. It's just not going to happen. There's a weird love for Gus Edwards there, and the one note style of his, I guess, is what Baltimore wants. And then Mark Ingram's going to be back, so yeah. I mean, in deeper leagues, he's still usable, but in a standard 12 teamer, I think I wouldn't cut him, but I would certainly bench him.
Yates, J.K. Dobbins plays for Baltimore, so I assume that you are fading him because you are all people who play for Baltimore, but how do you feel? Is Dobbins ever going to have value this season?
I like him long-term, like in dynasty leagues, because I expect Mark Ingram to either retire this year or to not be on the Baltimore Ravens next year, so I like Dobbins long-term this year. It's just not going to happen.
All right, Kevin H. asks, Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Jonathan Taylor rest of season? Brandon?
I will go with Jonathan Taylor, with just that schedule. I think it's pretty close, but I'm gonna lean towards the schedule here.
How about you, Yates?
Oh, I'm gonna go with the offense here. I'm gonna play CEH, or I'm gonna go with CEH there. But that is close.
All right, J Mills 33. Two questions about Austin Hooper here. J Mills 33 asks, Austin Hooper or Dallas Goedert rest of season?
I am team Goddard all the way, and Philly is number one in tight end targets this year. They won that category by 30 last year. They throw to their tight ends, and Goddard, I think, will be, you know, a big winner in that department.
How about you, Yates?
If I need a safe play, then I'll go with Hooper. If I need the upside, then I will go with Goddard. You know, if I'm sitting there and I'm a 3-6 team and I need to string together some wins here, then that's where I go Goddard, because he presents more upside.
I am probably going Goddard regardless. And finally, from Ashish, Hooper or Gronk rest of season? Brandon?
Gosh, this is where I think we might see Gronk squeezed a little bit with Antonio Brown there. So I'll go with Hooper.
How about you, Yates?
I'll still go with Gronk, but that gap is closing.
Yeah, I have Gronk one spot ahead right now. But yeah, that's about where it is. So, all right, great questions as always. Brandon, thanks so much for coming on the show. Just remind everybody where they can find more of you and your
work. At theathletic.com. Come over there. We got all kinds of stuff. Get you ready for this week and for the future. And a lot of great beat writers covering all the NFL teams with great information as well.
All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to Manscaped. Guys, winter is coming. Take care of yourself below and above the belt with all the latest in Manscaped's perfect package. Use the promo code Yates over at manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping. We'll be back tomorrow with our Start Sit show. I'll talk to you then.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.